Aleluia, aleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus journeyed to a city called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd followed him. As he drew near to the gate of the city, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow. A large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he was moved with pity and said to her, "Do not weep." He stepped forward and touched the coffin. At this, the bearers halted. And he said, "Young man, I tell you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, exclaiming, "A great prophet has arisen in our midst. God has visited his people." This report about him spread throughout the whole of Judea and in all the surrounding region. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's a great collision in today's Gospel between two processions. One was a funeral cortege. One of the saddest things you could see, a widow burying her own son. That's always poignant whenever a mother has to bury a child, but even more poignant with the setting of the Middle East. Women needed to be cared for by men. If a husband died, it was the duty of the eldest son. If there was no eldest son, she was at risk of being made a mendicant, a beggar, among her own extended family. There was no social welfare system at the time to care for people like this who fell through the cracks. So the poor woman was similarly going to be helpless. Not only was her heart on that bier with her dead son, but her life was now in the balance. At the same time that this procession of death was heading outside the city gates to the cemetery, a liturgical procession of life was occurring. Jesus, accompanied by a huge crowd, was walking toward the city. Jesus, when he saw that other procession, did two things I would urge you never to do at a funeral. First is to go up to a grieving mother and say, "Don't cry." The second is to go out in the middle of the street and stop the hearse. And Jesus did both. But then he was just getting started. Then he said to the young dead boy, "Young man, I tell you." And he uses that same word that the evangelist would use for his resurrection. "Arise, get up." This was an extraordinary gesture. Two other times in the Gospel we know of, Jesus raised people from the dead. Raised the daughter of Jairus and raised Lazarus, his friend. But in each case, Jesus did it as a response to a request, as a response to faith. Martha and Mary had sent him a letter saying, "Come quickly, the one that you love is dying." And Jairus went up and prostrated himself before Jesus and begged him to come and cure his little girl before she died. Here, the woman does nothing. We don't even know if she has faith. But Jesus' guts exploded with mercy. She might need some mine. And he went on up. And he foretold his own resurrection and raising this other young man. What do we learn from it? We can learn lots of applications with regard to the way Jesus wants us to bring our loved ones to him, to entrust ourselves to him, even in death. A how he wishes to give us an even greater gift than he gave this young man on a bier. But there's also a spiritual/moral interpretation of what human life is about. And there are these two processions Jesus describes in St. Luke's and St. Matthew's Gospel. One, a long funeral procession, which many are on the broad road that leads to perdition, walking spiritual cadavers. Why? Because resurrection is a relationship, it's not so much fact. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And many just don't have that relationship with him. They're wandering further and further away. We see so many signs of that absence in our life, from suicides to depression to just so many people being lost. But then there's the procession with Jesus accompanied by his disciples, a procession of life in which together with him, we, having received life to the full, seek to have others share that gift. The whole meaning of our existence is not only to stay on that road, but to help as many as we possibly can get on it. To become Jesus' mystical body, going out throughout the world to all those who are mourning their own death or the death of loved ones, and tell them to arise and come with us and follow Jesus. Today's feast of Our Lady of La Salette, we see an indication of that funeral procession, but also implicitly on the flip side of the coin, that liturgical procession of life. She was discovered by Melanie Calva and Maximin Giraud, 14 and 11 respectively, at the top of a mountain where they were grazing their sheep. They had already built a tiny little shrine that they used to call Paradis, Paradise. And Mary appeared there, bawling, so many were not on that road. When she began to speak to him, she noted four markers on that highway to hell. The first is that people were blaspheming. The second, they weren't coming to Mass on Sunday. The third, they weren't praying. And fourth, they weren't converting even in Lent. And this pained Mary so much that she was sobbing. But in that she also indicated the path to life. Rather than using her capacity to blaspheme, is to praise God. Rather than missing Sunday Mass, to make Sunday Eucharist the real source and summit, root and center of our life. Pray, because that's real faith in action. And constantly to repent and believe fully in the good news. Similarly, in today's first reading, we see the virtues of those on that procession with Jesus. In the description St. Paul gives to St. Timothy about bishops, then deacons, and women, to be irreproachable. To be chaste, that's what it means to be married only once, that if a spouse died, you weren't going to remarry, but you were going to live for the Lord. It didn't mean don't be a bigamist. To be temperate, moderate, to have self-mastery, to be decent, to be kind, to be hospitable. Not only just to be able to teach, but to use that ability to pass on the faith. To not give in to the drunkenness of the world. Not be aggressive, but meek. Not to be contentious, but a peacemaker. Not to be a lover of money, but a lover of the kingdom. To know how to manage your own self so that you could manage others. Today, as we come to this Mass, the Lord wants to give us all he knows we need to be able to walk with him with a blameless heart. Jesus is going to do something far greater for us today than he did for that boy or for that mother. Jesus is going to work a miracle in which he's going to take bread and wine and transform them into himself and then give them to us so that he might walk with us on the inside. And our response here should be even greater than what happened in Nain. Little did they know how literally true were their words. God has visited his people. May we recognize that God here visits us and leave from this encounter, spreading news of him throughout all the surrounding region. This is what will give our sorrowful mother peace.